Welcome, everybody, to the Cold Iron Gridiron Podcast, where the hits are hard, the takes are harder, and the truth is colder than a linebacker stare on fourth and goal. I know it's been quite a bit. Obviously, we missed the first 2 weeks, but we're going to do a little recap. But obviously, now we're heading into week three. Last night's game was the start of the new week. So there are some storylines heating up. Faster than the heat here in Tampa. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, injuries are always a big issue at the beginning of each and every NFL season. It feels like the last couple of years. So we'll be talking about those upsets, MVP risers, you know, who's going to be winning some of these awards at the end of the season. And obviously the outlook for the remainder of the year and going into what possibly... we're going to be talking about who will possibly be winning this year's Super Bowl in California, Super Bowl 60 this year. So I'm joined here by our host, Zach, who gave me the blessing to go ahead and kick off the podcast. So this week, our first segment we are going to touch here today is the Bengals recap over the first 2 weeks. I don't know how you feel. I know the Bengals are really known for kicking themselves in the ass, you know, the first couple weeks in the season, but I don't know what's a worse feeling, you know, being 2-0, but now being without Burrow, or being 0-2, you know, still having Joe Burrow. I don't know, these injuries, not, and it's not even just Joe Burrow being injured. It's just, you know, yeah, Jaden Daniels, who was just announced out this week. But back to our point on the Bengals. I mean, what are your thoughts? Personally, for me, dude, I would much rather be in an 0-2 situation still with Joe Burrow, because we know he's going to, you know, find his rhythm like he has the last couple of years and finish strong. But I would definitely want to hear your side.
My outlook is very pessimistic. I would say that week one in particular, the hats off to the defense, by the way. They stepped their fucking shit up. I want to give them their fucking flowers. These last 2 weeks, they've done phenomenal. They're the reason we're winning football games. And that's not something I could say last year. They sucked ass last year. Like, I'm pretty sure they were the worst defense in the league.
Yeah. Shout out to Al Golden. His transition.
Shout out to Notre Dame legend Al fucking Golden for turning this fucking defense around. And now the thing that we thought we weren't going to have to worry about, which is the offense, we're worrying about the fucking most. Yeah,
definitely some woes there for sure. I mean, in that first game, they opened the game with a touchdown, you know, looking promising. They looked great. But that's that second half. I mean, they came out with 7 total yards of offense and by the skin of their teeth ended up winning that game. And I don't even know how. I mean, the Browns are putting up, you know, crazy numbers defensively. They're not even giving up 50 yards a game rushing. They limited to Derrick Henry. I started him in like 3 of my 4 leagues to like less than 5 fantasy points. And he, you know, across the league, everyone knows he's RB1. You know, he's probably, you know, the top running back in the league behind Saquon. But man, their defense, you know, I don't know. Their defense is just fantastic. And if the Browns were smart and made some offensive moves in the offseason, I feel like they could, you know, steal this division easily, even getting past the Ravens. But we're not here to talk about, you know, the doo-doo Browns or the stupid flock. But yeah, that offense is really scaring me now that Joe Burrow is out. You know, Chase Brown didn't look too good the first 2 weeks. Everyone was hopeful. In fantasy, I mean, he was picked early on, second, maybe third round, depending on, you know, what kind of league you're in. And T. Higgins was, you know, missing last week. I mean, I thought I had to call my local police department and say, hey, this guy's, you know, nowhere to be found. But, man, that Joe Burrow injury is really going to take an impact on the season. I mean, luckily enough, I mean, looking ahead, you know, the schedule seems a little tough. But it, timeline-wise, it does look like he's coming back around Thanksgiving or the week after, which... I really would love to have Burrow, you know, during that Ravens-Bills stretch that we have later on in the season. But Ja'Marr Chase is still, you know, wonderful. I'm so glad we paid him. We're keeping him. So, yeah, offense is definitely something to keep an eye on, especially with Jake Browning stepping in. But man, he's in the pocket less than 2.5, 3 seconds, and he just slings it. So hopefully he can find that rhythm he had a few years back. So yeah. First time in 7 years that we're 2-0, the first time in the Zach Taylor era. Unfortunately, Shamar Stewart's injury is his presence was made known the first couple weeks. So injuries are definitely already plaguing us, because I think DJ Turner is also questionable this week as well. So, man, what a shame. Truly, what a shame.
Yeah. These injuries are already getting to us. You know, Joe Burrow out, Jake Browning having to step in. You're right. He's in the pocket for 2 or 3 seconds and he makes great passes, just not to the offense. I mean, that's my biggest concern right now is the quarterback position. I could give a fuck about defense. Yeah, we got Turner is questionable. CTB, thank God he's doubtful because he's looked like shit this year. I'm not trying to say like, oh, thank God he's injured. Just get him off the field, man. He's not playing great. He's not making great decisions. He's making costly tackles. A lot of missed tackles. It's been his problem the last 3 years. And then his ego is so inflated that he thinks he's fucking best thing since fucking sliced bread, when he needs to fucking hit the fucking goddamn film room and watch some fucking film. I mean, I'm not a professional football player, but you think a professional football player would be able to make a fucking tackle. Anyways, shame Shamar Stewart's out. I gave that guy a lot of flack before the season because of his contract shit, because every other rookie contract had those clauses in there, but power of negotiation. It's a beautiful tool. Love to see him thriving, and it hated to see him get hurt. He's out with an ankle injury this week. Good news is he's not on the IR, so hopefully he'll be back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and speaking of negotiating, and definitely keeping Trey was key for this defense again. A lot of the Bengals fans in the offseason were worried that, we were going to trade him away for probably a bag of chips. I mean, for his age, I don't know if you can get a first-round pick. So that's kind of my analysis on why I think, we wouldn't get anything for him. But his impact is still definitely being made, especially him not, participating in OTAs. And didn't watch a lot of preseason, but I'm certain he played a couple snaps here and there. But, he's already leading the team in sacks. He's got one in each game so far. And Jordan Battle, what a step up he's had, too. He's, I think, top five in the league right now with tackles. So he's definitely a rising star. What a flip, from last year. I mean, the offense was, phenomenal. Star players left and right, big plays being made left and right. Defense just in shambles. We did a total 180. I don't know, man. A lot of inconsistencies being made, and when inconsistencies are there, there's an impact on our team. So that kind of, and I don't know, man, these injuries have just been a plague these first 2 weeks. I know I earlier mentioned Jaden Daniels. Now Brock Purdy's also dealing with that same turf toe. Fortunately for him, he doesn't need surgery, but that's definitely going to impact him this week when they have their matchup against Arizona this week. When Arizona is top 10 rush defense, their defense does look spectacular this year. And honestly, this is going to be one of my upset picks for the week. I think Arizona could pull it off, even when Who's their backup? Mac Jones for San Francisco?
Yeah, he's the backup. He's been playing.
So, definitely keep an eye out on that game this weekend, 4 o'clock kickoff. So, moving on to our next segment here, hot takes for this season. What do you got? Why don't you go ahead and kick us off on what your thoughts are.
The MVP will not be a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Patrick Mahomes. That's my hot take.
If you say Jalen Hurts, I'm running across this house and slamming you through a wall.
No, absolutely fucking not. Jalen Hurts has proven once again that even though he's won a Super Bowl, he's still not a top five quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
He did win that game, agree. But 100 yards come on, bro. You can't call yourself a top five. That's what I consider, quote unquote, an elite quarterback, right?
He's a check down merchant, bro.
He's a check down merchant. So, you know,
he has so much time in that pocket, check down every play, or he just runs it. I mean, yeah, it's great to have a running and passing, quote unquote, passing quarterback, but he has so much time in the pocket. He's averaging less, I think, through 2 weeks, like less than 5 yards in the air per pass attempt. From what I saw online, I was doing some analytical things prior to, you know, us hopping on here, and his numbers are just atrocious. To me, I personally think he might be the worst quarterback in NFL history to ever win a Super Bowl. I don't know if we're going to have any Eagles fans tune into this podcast, but feel free to shoot me a DM and I'll back myself up with some stats. You still wish you had Nick Foles, trust me. I think he would do wonders, even though he's a little washed now. But crazy to think he won a Super Bowl MVP before Jalen Hurts. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and I'm going to piggyback on what I was talking about, which is I don't think one of the – I'm going to call them the big three quarterbacks, right? They're not going to win MVP. Do I think a quarterback's going to win MVP? Statistically, it's likely, right?
Yes, unfortunately. It's a quarterback award at this point.
But – I think we might see a running back or a wide receiver win this year. Who? I think it's like, I don't know. It's still a little too early in the season to tell, but yeah, we could see a Saquon. He's playing fantastic. Still looking like he's in tip-top shape. Derrick Henry, not so much. I would say I don't think he's going to get it. If I had to say anything, I'd probably say Saquon MVP. I still think he should have won MVP last year, that him or Jamar. It shouldn't have been a quarterback.
No, personally, for me, I think it should have been Saquon MVP and then Jamar for Offensive Player of the Year, excuse me, because we've had, what, a handful, like 7 or 8, you know, 2,000 rushing yard seasons from a running back. But in the Super Bowl era, 60 years, mind you, we have had 3 Triple Crown winners. Triple Crown, including leading the league in receptions, leading the league in receiving yards, and leading the league in touchdowns. We have seen that 3 times in 60 years, 2 times in the past 5 years. I think we're in the prime NFL era for wide receivers. I mean, you got minimum 50 games started, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, who are matching up this weekend. Can't wait for this game, truly. Who are number 1 and number 2 ranked all time for receiving yards in a game. So thank God for, you know, blessing us with 2 great players at the same time. But I truly think Jamar Chase should have won Offensive Player of the Year. And he's still on pace for, you know, a great season. I do think, I know you're saying Saquon MVP. I hate the fact that this is such a quarterback given award. But man, Jordan Love and Justin Herbert both look fantastic so far this year. I know we're only into week 2 and, you know, we have yet to see a lot of frauds. Cause clearly, I mean, I don't know, they got past the Lions defense week 1. The Lions defense is young, talented. They're not riddled with injuries anymore like they were last season. But then week 2, they play the Commanders, who on average have the oldest team in the league at 27, 28 years old. And it's sad to say that, you know, 27, 28 is old, cause then you're calling me old and you old. But, I personally think this year, Jordan Love is going to take that award away. And, you know, I've said time and time again on this podcast, you know, I'm a superstitious guy. Could the Packers win the Super Bowl?
Probably. Could the Packers win they're the Super Bowl? They're my favorite right now. I would say my favorite.
Yeah, and speaking of that superstition, again, I know it's only week 2. We're early. You know, there's a lot of atrocious takes, you know, prior to the season. And even, you know, week 2, week 3 in the season, there's still some idiots out there that, the Browns or the Bills are going to make a come. No, not going to happen. I'm just rambling. I don't even know what the fuck I was going to say at this point. But regardless, I like Jordan Love. I like the Packers. He's just looking fantastic. Oh, yeah. Back to my dude, I'm all over the place today. I didn't even do any coke. Nothing. So Bart Starr, 27 years old, NFL championship. Brett Favre, 27 years old, won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, 27 years old, won a Super Bowl. Guess who turns 27 in November? Jordan Love. Could this repeat? Probably not. But it's a possibility. So you're saying Saquon. I'm saying Jordan Love. We're going to take note of this. I think Justin Herbert could possibly very well be a runner-up. I am strong on the Chargers this year. I know it's been said time and time again, oh, Justin Herbert can't win a playoff game, but could that change this year? Looking ahead at the Chargers schedule, if you have it in front of you, I mean, it's a cakewalk, honestly. Could they get it done this year? What are your thoughts? This wasn't on our segment, but, man, the Chargers could really steal the division away from the Chiefs.
You really want to hear my take on the Chargers?
You're going to say they're doo-doo.
Most overrated team in the AFC.
Really?
100%. Justin Herbert, most overrated quarterback in the AFC.
This dude
is glazed like he is the prophet of Los Angeles. They put him on the same level as Joe Burrow when they glaze this man. But you know what he does when it gets to crunch time, the time where it matters the most? He folds like a piece of origami paper into a beautiful fucking swan called going home, because this dude throws four picks against the fucking Texans in crunch time, when it matters, to take his team to where, quite frankly, they deserve to go. But he's not that quarterback. He's not a Joe Burrow. He's not a Josh Allen. He's not a Lamar Jackson. He's not even a Jalen fucking Hurts.
That's a little crazy. I can see why you're saying that, too, to the fact that, you know, they played a Chiefs defense who look absolutely terrible, barely got by to them in the not the international opener this season. And, you know, they beat the Raiders, big whoop, you know, I mean, that's kind of expected. The Raiders, you know, new team, new coach, might as well call them the Seahawks at this point. But I don't know, man, Justin Herbert has already thrown through 2 weeks, 560 yards, five touchdowns with a QBR of 138. If he can keep it up, I mean, he's got a tough matchup this week against that Denver defense. So, we'll see.
Sounds like Lamar Jackson, a regular season merchant.
Yeah, truly. And looking ahead at their schedule, too. I mean, they've got Detroit Monday night, Kansas City the week after. I don't know, man. Kansas City just isn't. I mean, are they the team that, you know, they have been these past couple of years? They look rough. They truly do. These receivers can't make plays. The defense is all over the place, and they've already started the season 0-2. Very crucial matchup this week for Kansas City, again, who has a terrible O-line and is going up against Abdul Carter and Dexter Lawrence for the Giants D-line this week. So that's going to be tough. I'm not saying the Chiefs could lose. I don't see them starting 0-3, but it's a possibility. The Giants could pull it off if they pulled the offensive stunt they did last week.
Mm. Yeah, I would say anything's possible. And you know what? If the Chiefs do go 0-3, put the biggest smile on my face.
Oh, I think it would put the entire fan base in the NFL, other than Chiefs fans, a big old smile on their face. But I could see them, you know, definitely bouncing back and still being a top contender for the AFC. I don't think they're going to miss the playoffs. I hate to say it. The AFC just has a couple powerhouse teams, and they're just one of them at this point. So moving on to fantasy, Zach. I don't even want to talk about it at this point. You know, I'm 2 weeks into four different leagues, and I've won one. I'm like 1-7 through 2 weeks in fantasy. I even lost to Gabby. I don't even know how that happens. I might as well just call it a career and retire at this point.
Yeah, I'd agree. So since we're going to talk fantasy, I'm 2-0 in the leagues that I really give a shit about, our money league and our bragging rights league. So I would say that I've finally become a competent fantasy manager. So do you want me to open up with who I think we should sit this week?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take some tips from you because clearly I need it.
So if you're a Breece Hall owner, You're going to hate me for this one, but sit this fucking guy this week. His production has gone downhill like a landslide, and he's playing a very competent Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense who are having their home game debut. I expect the Tampa defense to stuff the run like a man stuffs a turkey on Thanksgiving. I would sit Breece Hall if you got him this week. Another one for the running back position, I would sit, and this is gonna come as a shock to Bengals fans, please don't grab me by the fucking throat, but sit Chase Brown. 2 weeks in a row with not very optimal production despite getting multiple touches. I have seen better running and better yards per carry from Chase Brown last season than I have this season, and I'm not feeling super optimistic about him running against a very, very good Vikings defense. I would sit him. Let's move to another position. Let's move to the wide receiver position. Now, a lot of people are probably wondering, what wide receiver do I think that you should play? Which one do you think I should sit? And I'm going to tell you right now, Amika Egbuchebear. That kid is a fucking stud. Even with Mike Evans there, Chris Godwin is still out. Start Amika Egbuka in your flex. I'm telling you right now, this kid is going to have a legendary game against the Jets defense. I can just smell it fucking cooking. I'm going to give you guys one more wide receiver that I think you guys should start. Another wide receiver too, by the way.
Who in two games from that rookie is just insane. He's made some great catches.
Absolutely and, insane.
Baker Mayfield, obviously, I mean, already, King. You know, the chemistry's there. He trusts him when it counts. And he's even outperforming Mike Evans through 2 weeks. So it's just crazy. Yeah, facing this weekend, I don't know if Sauce is. I think Sauce is going to shadow Mike Evans. So yeah, that is definitely going to free up Egbuka to get, you know, feast on some softer coverage from Brandon Stevens and I think Michael Carter on the Jets defense. So and they're very vulnerable too. So yeah, definitely that's a big start for this week. The Bucs are off to a hot start.
All right. I would say let's sit somebody now. Who are we sitting? Because I've done a couple starts. I did a sit. Who are we sitting?
For the wide receiver position?
Yeah.
This week?
I did a start for the wide receiver position. I did two sits for running back. Let's do... Oh.
You know?
Let me take the lanes. Hot take time, baby!
You know what? Go ahead. We like the hot takes, sit like I said.
Justin Jefferson.
What?
Sit Justin Jefferson.
I mean, I know they're without JJ, and he really hasn't been productive, but the ball's up there. He's taking it. Even if Carson Wentz is there.
I don't care. Look at what he's done the last 2 weeks. JJ McCarthy, I don't care what Hunter has to say, because Hunter was telling me, oh, JJ McCarthy's not a good quarterback. He's competent. He's a competent quarterback. I mean, he took Michigan to the national championship and won.
That's so different.
Hold on. Can you let me finish my point?
Let him cook, guys, I guess.
I'm roasting right now, man.
The water's not even boiling, bro.
Has a great comeback despite a shitty first three quarters. Has a great comeback to bring his team a W. I think even with a Carson Wentz, that Justin Jefferson will have yet again under 10 points. And it'll get worse when Jordan Addison comes back. Yes, yeah, 100% rage bait, by the way.
So, yeah, clearly you got me a little heated here. I would always start Justin Jefferson, even if he has a shitty game or not. I mean, he's a good producer. He gets it done week by week, year by year. We've seen it. The stats show it. The highlight reels definitely show it. I would say another sit this week, I'm probably going to get some heat from some Bengals fans, but sit T. Higgins. He's still missing. I think I have yet to find this man through 2 weeks of the season after, you know, paying him a little over $30 million, 4 years. We should have definitely, I think, traded him away or let him go into free agency and spice up that offensive line a little bit more. But with Jake Browning under center, I mean, the chemistry, it could be there, you know, like it was a couple seasons ago. But the Vikings held DJ Moore and Drake London to less than, I think, 13 points the last 2 weeks. So I don't think T. Higgins' production is going to be there. Jamar Chase, hopefully. I honestly think the Bengals could pull off a week three win this week against Minnesota with, you know, Aaron Jones also being out to another injury, you know, that's, you know, hit the season already. And obviously J.J. McCarthy with his ankle. So in both teams have been riddled with injuries, but I think the better team, the Bengals. Is it me being biased? Probably. But I just think... recapping and going back to our fantasy segment, just sit T for now. Keep an eye on him. He'll come back eventually. He'll be found. But yeah, definitely a sit for this week. Now, transitioning into quarterbacks, I would start this week Dak Prescott against the Bears on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon. I am so sorry. I think Dak Prescott is going to be a start. That Bears defense has allowed 10 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, the most across the league so far. So I think Dak Prescott's going to have another 300-yard game with multiple touchdowns. So keep an eye on that. Dak Prescott, MVP?
Maybe.
Maybe. But we'll see. That's my start for this week.
At quarterback. Have to spit shine that thing.
Who are you sitting this week? Who are you going to be sitting?
I actually sat T. Higgins in our matchup. Good you know boy. Who I replaced him with?
Amika Egbuka?
No, Wandale Robinson. That dude is a stud.
Wandale Dingle?
That giant. That Giants offense is coming into its own with Daniel Jones gone. But you know what's funny about that? Daniel Jones is thriving without the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Shoulder shrug.
I don't know. It could be
this is the Colts our being 2-0.
This is our team. They're going to lose this week. Another upset. The Titans beat the Colts.
Please, Cam Ward, do it for everybody.
I think the Colts are frauds. Remember how we saw last year with the Saints through 2 weeks? They scored 50 points in back-to-back games. You know what happened to the Saints last year? That's what happened. The Aints. They're called the Aints for a reason, guys. I truly think the Titans have a possibility to win this game. I know they didn't score any touchdowns last week on the offensive side of things, but I don't know. That's just I just have a gut feeling that the Colts could possibly blow this game. They have a very tough schedule ahead of them with, you know, the Rams. They have the Chargers. And yeah, they just, I don't know. The AFC South in general is just so unreadable at this point with the Texans starting 0-2. The Jags inconsistencies are still there with clearly Liam Cohen. I don't know if you saw, but Trevor Lawrence kind of waved him off here in the Bengals game last week. I don't know if he was like wanting him to run a specific play and basically told Liam to fuck off. But Duval, man. You guys are going to be struggling this season. So, Texans, I don't know. Titans, they're in a rebuild. Colts could win, but I don't know. They might be frauds. I don't know.
I love this. I love all the takes that are being chucked around the fucking room. We're going to get so much hate for every take that we've done.
Now, what about tight ends?
Huh, I'll tell you about my tight end. Anyways, I was going to say start Dalton Kincaid, but you know, that game happened yesterday and he did very well. 18 points.
Oh, thank God, dude. He came in clutch for me. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I would say a sit, I hate to say it, probably Tyler Warren. Wait, no, he's playing the, they're playing the, I'm getting my games mixed up. They're playing the Titans. I would actually say start Tyler Warren. Sorry. Titans defense is just kind of mid. And you've seen what this guy's production looks like. I would say sit. I hate to say this because he's fantastic. He's done fantastic, but the injury is a little concerning. Tucker Kraft. Sit Tucker Kraft.
Tucker, I barely know her. Yeah, I definitely like that the Tyler Warren pick. He's, you know, definitely shown some resilience through the first 2 weeks. I think he's a breakout waiting to happen. He's definitely going to be, I think, finish the season top 10. He's had over 150 receiving yards first 2 weeks. He's played 66 of 71 offensive snaps last week alone. So could he break Brock Bowers' rookie record that was just set last year? Him and Daniel Jones, man, they're, again, I know we just talked about them. Are the Colts frauds? Maybe. But, man, Tyler Warren, he just looks comfortable. Like, it looks like he's been in the league 5-6 years already, and he knows what he's doing. So, I definitely like that start for Tyler Warren. Who are we sitting?
Sorry, I'm thinking. Give me a moment. Give me a moment.
You know who I think should sit this week?
Shoot. You shoot
the tight end position? Go ahead. I think that you should sit Harold Fannin Jr. Yes, I know he's had a fantastic week one against the Bengals. Week two last week, slowed down production slightly. But I don't know, man. No, who's that? Is Harold Fannin that Browns tight end? Is that who I'm thinking of? I think I'm thinking of somebody else.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a sit. His production last week definitely declined from, you know, the season opener. He's a really tough matchup this week against the Green Bay Packers defense, which that defense is just wow. They have shown up this season. I know they're, again, they, you know, played a couple fraud. I wouldn't call the Lions frauds. I mean, they walked past the Lions clearly, but Washington, I think, is another fraud team this year on the NFC side. I don't think they're making the playoffs this year. Commanders fans, you can stay mad. Haha. Don't care. But yeah, he's definitely going to be a sit this week. I don't think Green Bay has allowed a touchdown to a tight end this season, and they're going to keep that streak going. So actually, that's a lie. Zach Ertz did have a touchdown week two on that Thursday night game, but I don't know. I would say another tight end to sit would be probably Dalton. No, not Dalton Kincaid. He just played, didn't he?
Yeah, why the fuck would you say that? And he went off. And he played Miami's defense. They stink. Stinky doo-doo, but.
Yeah, Miami, we're not even going to talk about you. You're that bad. We're not interested. Sorry, buddy.
We had an undefeated season in the 70s. We'll never live it down.
Yeah, speaking of Zach Ertz, just go ahead and sit him this week. Jaden Daniels is out. I think that's obviously very clear. So, yeah, go ahead and just start. Speaking of Zach Ertz, go ahead and give him a sit. Sit him.
That's a good sit. That's a good sit.
Defensively, I don't know if some people are in some defensive leagues. Jesus, I cannot talk. But I would start the Colts defense. Tennessee has allowed 11 sacks through 2 weeks. Cam Ward is getting beat up. They are definitely rebuilding. So I would say the Colts, start them this week against that Titans offense. You'll thank me later. This is not fantasy football advice. But who are you sitting this week?
For defense. On the
defensive side of the ball.
The Jets.
Yeah.
Baker's gonna, you know, bake them like bread. Fucking throw the ball all over him. I just don't think that they'll be able to handle the heat from Mike Evans, Igbuka, Bucky fucky Irving, Rashad White.
Fucky.
I just don't think they can handle it. I truly think the Bucks will do pretty well, and it's a shame we can't go to the game someday because we're hosting the games here.
So we'll be going soon. I would very much like to see the Bucks play the Patriots.
Play the Eagles next weekend here.
Shit, those tickets are going to be quite expensive. But
you give a fuck about money?
Yes. But I'm very interested in that New England-Tampa Bay game. It's the week after their bye week, week 10. It's still a little ways out, but we could always see them play. It's going to be so hot, though, man, in October against the 49ers. I would love to see the 49ers play and knock that team off. I actually have a list on my phone of NFL teams I've seen play live, so that would be very cool to knock off the 49ers on the list there. So, that was our fantasy segment. Now transitioning into our picks this season. I don't know if you've been keeping track. I had a rough week one at 8-8. Last week I went 12-4. A lot of improvement there. So our week three picks. I think if you picked the Dolphins to win last night, you shouldn't watch another NFL game for the rest of your life. But starting with the AFC, we got the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. I've already made my pick there. This is one of my two upsets this week. I think Tennessee is going to pull this off.
This is our Colts. This is our team. I'm choosing them.
All right. We got a loyal Colts fan in the chat, guys.
By the way, tickets for that game are $200. I think I'll pass for nosebleeds.
For Eagles. For which game?
Eagles.
Yeah. Told you, buddy. Welcome to 2025. Gotta love it.
125 for the 49ers. I'm just looking right now.
It's not terrible. Also, hot take, because we're full of them. Nosebleeds are the best seats. Fuck sitting on the 50-yard line in the first section, whatever. End zone seats are terrible, because when the teams are on the other end of the field, you don't know what the fuck's going on. Nosebleeds are the best. You see the plays as they happen. You can even yell from the nosebleeds, that motherfucker down there is open, throw it to him, and then he doesn't throw it to him, and then you just... Put me in, coach. Put me the fuck in. I will take your job. Nosebleeds are the best. Change my mind. Moving on. Steelers. Patriots. Steelers defense looks absolutely terrible. Lot of production slowed down for Rodgers this past week. With a couple interceptions. But I think the Steelers...
Breaking news. Stop what you're fucking talking about. The Falcons have released Young Hoku.
That's really breaking news. That doesn't surprise me. Poor Young Ho.
That Young Ho is gone.
Yeah, that. Not surprised. Could they pick up Jake Moody? Did they say who they picked up?
No, it just says they released Young Hoku. That's right, still well, crazy. Thanks, bro, I legit... Never... keep going.
Thank you, Adam Scheffner, for... the breaking news live. I love that. I'm getting live news while we're on the air. Steelers, Patriots. I'm taking the Steelers. I don't know. Patriots are going to start. No, they're not 0-3. They won last week. What am I talking about? Yeah, give me the Steelers.
Yeah, give me the Squealers.
Moving on. We got the Texans and the Jags. I don't see the Texans starting 0-3. Especially with the success that CJ Stroud has had, you know, his first couple years. I seriously cannot see him starting 0-3, so I think I'm gonna pick the Texans.
Yeah, I'm gonna choose the Texans too.
Broncos, Chargers in LA. If it wasn't Mile High, it'd be a different story. It's hard to play, you know, literally a mile high from sea level. Hard to breathe for some of those athletes, but since it's in LA, Chargers are hot. They stay hot, lightning hot. Give me the Chargers. Mm. Don't say the Broncos. Mm. They look like shit last dude. They lost to the Colts. Mm.
Division game. I'm going to Broncos. I don't care. I'm going to Broncos. I think the Broncos can pull this off, bro. Yeah, they're having a slow start, but they have a great defense behind them.
Yeah. Interconference matchups. Bengals-Vikings. I'm staying biased. Give me the Bengals.
I'm standing on business. The Bengals, nine toes down because Burrow's missing one.
I'll give him my toe.
Give him my entire foot. Take it, dude.
Already talked about this one. Jets-Bucks. Jets without Justin Fields. Yeah, clearly the Bucks. That is going to be my lock of the week. Lock of the week there. Could either be that or this one coming up. Packers, Browns.
Packers. I don't know, man. Packers supremacy.
Browns defense is crazy, but they can't get it done offensively. But so I'm sticking with the Packers.
I'm sticking with the Packers, too.
Marcus Mariota going up against his former team, the Oakland Raiders. I'm taking the Commanders. I think he'll get it done this week. Give me the Commies. Yeah,
I'm going to take the Commies, too.
Chiefs, Giants, don't see the Chiefs starting 0-3 either. This is going to be a lot closer than a lot of you guys think. This is not financial advice. We're going to get into Sean's selection shortly. This is not financial advice. I would take the Giants on the spread. That's just me, but I'm taking the Chiefs.
I'm also going to take the Chiefs. I think that's a no discussion required.
Game of the week. Monday Night Football in Baltimore. As the Lions are coming in hot after last week's 50-point victory over the Bears. This is a tough one. I love this matchup, possible Super Bowl 60 matchup. Who knows? It's such a tough one to pick. You know, especially last week after you had no production from Henry. The Ravens receivers really haven't been so well. The Lions had a rough week one, bounced back crazy last week. But this game's in Baltimore, and traveling into Baltimore with a crowd like that, it's so hard to win. I'm not saying the Lions are going to struggle or get blown out. I think this is going to be a very close game. But I think I'm going to go ahead and take the Baltimore Ravens to win this game. I think the NFL is the only team or the only sport where home field advantage matters. It does not matter in baseball. It does not matter in basketball because they play every day, every other day, whatever. NFL is just totally different than those sports. I'm not going to mention soccer. Nobody watches soccer.
Except for like half the world, but.
Yeah, this is America. This is football. This is the real football. But I'm taking Baltimore probably by 3 points or less.
Give me the Lions.
I like it. I would love to see Detroit win.
Yeah, I think everyone in the AFC North would.
Because that would put us, if the Steelers win, that would put us one game back. But if somehow the Patriots pull it off, obviously the Browns are going to lose. And if the Lions could pull it off, we would be two games up 3 weeks into the season in the AFC North. So I'm praying for a Lions victory. I'm praying for a Patriots victory. I don't think it's going to happen. But moving on to the NFC side of things, we have the Rams and the Eagles.
Upset alert. Eagles fly. Yes. Yeah, something, something victory. They're winning. It's not even a discussion. Yeah.
Unfortunately, this very possibly could be an upset, but they're in Philly. I'm taking the Eagles.
Yeah. You were about to choose somebody else, weren't you?
Hot. Maybe.
My confidence changed your mind.
Yeah, give me the Eagles. Falcons, Panthers. I don't know what's going on with the Panthers. They finished strong last year.
The shit bowl.
Bryce Young, he's going to be gone. I don't think he is going to be a Panther by the end of the year. Hot take. The Falcons.
The Falcons are going to regret releasing Young Hoku after this game, after their new kicker, Jake Moody, misses a field goal and costs them the game, and the Panthers win. Panthers up.
That would be crazy if they got Jake Moody. Go blue.
Go blue indeed.
Saints, Seahawks. Seahawks look good this year. Big win last week against the Steelers.
Some of these we don't even have to talk about because the Saints are abysmal. It's the Seahawks all the way. The Seahawks look competent. They look like a competent football team.
Absolutely. They truly do. I'm taking the Seahawks as well. I know we already talked about this one, another upset of the week. I probably shouldn't have two, but I think the Cardinals could very much pull it off. Great defense. I think they're going to shut down CMC. Mac Jones, just the only thing he's good at is hitting the gritty. So Kyler Murray, I know Call of Duty's not out yet. I don't know when it comes out, but once it comes out, then you could probably pick the 49ers to win this, but Black Ops 7 ain't out yet. So give me Arizona.
Yeah, give me the Cards. I think I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. I think the Cardinals, they look like a decent football team. They don't look like a great football team, but they look like a decent football team. And I just don't know about Mac Jones. I'm not feeling it. They're a hurt team as well, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Give me the Cardinals.
So, and finally, last but not least, Cowboys and the Bears. I'm taking the Cowboys, no question. I think Dak Prescott is going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs this week, guys.
All right. Give me the Bears losing because the Cowboys are about to fucking mount them fucking Bears like it's nobody's fucking business.
Ain't that the truth?
Cowboys by 20.
Wow, that's bold, buddy. So
you got some selections, Sean's selections
for this week. I have a 6-leg parlay, probably not the smartest thing to do in the world, but I'll read it off to you. This isn't going to be the official selection, but this is just what I have for this week. It is a 6-legger. It is the Bucks to win, Bucky Irving, anytime touchdown. Eagles to win, Saquon Barkley over 15 rushing yards in the first quarter. Seahawks to win, Kenneth Walker over 10 yards rushing in the first quarter. All those player stats have hit each and every single game. It just comes down to, can the Seahawks beat the Saints? Hopefully, you know, it's likely. Can the Eagles beat the Rams? Possibly. Upset there. And the Bucks are just going to sweep the Jets. Hopefully this hits. But if you want, I would say go for, if you want to go for a partial, I'd say Bucks to win, Bucky Irving anytime, Emeka Egbuka over 50 receiving yards. Don't know what the odds are on that, but this is not financial advice. That is all I'm going to say. I think we're going to close it out here. This is going to be our last part. Oh, what do you got? What you got?
You got Sean selections. I have the cold iron cash grab, baby.
Okay, cold iron cash grab. What you got?
All right. I have two bets. One is currently ongoing, and one of the legs is already hit. So I will go over two parlays. We'll start with a 2-leg parlay that I have. Bengals-Vikings. This one is exclusively for you Bengals fans who want to bet on this game. Take the Bengals to win and Jamar Chase anytime touchdown, baby. It's easy money. Easy money. Okay. $5 in, $22.50 out. I think that's easy money. I 100% think that could hit. Now, for my spicy bettors, I have a beautiful 5-legger for you. Bills over Dolphins. Check mark, baby. But if it's a little too late for you, there's 4 other legs that you can ride on. Texans over Jaguars. Buccaneers over Jets. Packers over Browns. And Broncos over Chargers for 5 in, $43 out. I think that could easily hit. The Broncos being the iffy one there, you know what I mean? But I definitely think that if the Broncos pull this off, you will be a happy camper with your additional funds.
That last one there. But I don't know, the payout just $5 in, brother. Come on, you got to go full 401k, dude. Like, and if you lose that, just pull out a PPP loan. And for that same amount, if you lose that, just keep going. Just keep riding it, brother. This is, again, not financial advice. If you know someone or if you are struggling with a gambling addiction, please reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're a 24-hour resource for individuals struggling with gambling, and they provide support, information, and referrals to local meetups, I guess, if you want to. So, Super Bowl matchup this year. Who are you picking?
We'll Packers, Bills, out. Packers win. I don't think it needs to be explained. I actually think that's what's going to happen.
I like that. I actually have the Packers and the Eagles in my NFC championship matchup.
That's about to say.
AFC, I got Bills, Ravens, Super Bowl. Give me the Bills over the Philadelphia Eagles. I truly hope the Bills finally get it done this year. Josh Allen truly deserves to wear a ring on his finger. It is long overdue.
He already has one. That dude's married to, like, the most beautiful woman on the planet.
Yeah. But I think a Super Bowl ring would look better.
Nah.
Anyways. You're crazy, brother.
Wifey over football lifey. That was bad. All right, are we ending?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry that. I don't know. That made me feel a little weird. But anyway, that's a wrap for this week's Cold Iron Gridiron. Where the takes are cold, but the coverage is fire. Whether you're riding at 2-0 like the Bengals or questioning your fantasy decisions, we've got your back every week. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit us up on social media with your hot takes. Or if you're a Browns fan, feel free to reach out to me and, you know, talk your shit, buddy. Anyway, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Take it easy.